Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your pursuit of us. Lord, when we mess up, Lord, you are still there. You still love us. Lord, there's nothing else that we want but you. Lord, we invite you here today. Come show your face. Lord, we love you. You are a good, good Father. Thank you for your love. Amen. All right, so Jeremiah 29:11. Y'all may be seated. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So there's a ministry called Project Rescue that steps in to break generational curses and give communities the hope of this scripture. We're going to take a look at the good work that they're doing in Southern Asia.
The saddest day of a girl's life to be born in this.
The cycle of prostitution first. We've got to raise the leaders within themselves from that community, and so they can become the voice for their own people.
When we first walked into these villages, it was so dark. Now there's that candle, there's that hope that's burning, and it's getting brighter and it's brighter. No one believed that this community could do anything else but prostitute their women and children. Today, they're driving rickshaws. Today, they're farming. They're doing other things. Their kids are getting a good education.
God has spoken to us. They're going to be the strength of the nation one day. Not just the weak one, but they're going to be the strength of the nation.
Amen. Wasn't that such a great video to see what they're doing over in Southern Asia? Such a beautiful testament of God's redeeming love, his promise to be able to restore all things, to give them a hope and a future. So this morning, we're going to do something special. We have the opportunity to be a part of this kind of redeeming ministry as we take up a special offering for Speed the Light. So those students that are designated to help with the offering, y'all can come up. And they're going to be walking around. If you feel led to give to Speed the Light, you can feel free to leave it in the baskets here. All right, I'm going to pray real quick. Lord, I thank you for your redeeming love, Lord, for your promise. Thank you for the missionaries that are called all over the world to help spread the gospel. Lord, thank you for what we're able to do to contribute to that, to pour into this amazing ministry, Speed the Light, to be able to provide supplies, vehicles, Lord, and whatever the missionaries need to be able to advance the gospel throughout the world. Lord, I just pray that you just be with each and every missionary. Lord, bless them, provide for them, keep them safe, show them your love. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so now we're going to hop over and see some familiar faces from Scotland.
Hey students, my name is Brandon Newman, and my family and I are missionaries in Scotland. My name's Brandon, as I just said. My wife Melissa is behind the camera, and this is Lexi. She wanted to say hi.
Hi.
Hey, you guys, thank you so much for every single thing you do for Speed the Light. Also, for us specifically, thank you for buying our very first Speed the Light car over a decade ago. I can't believe it's been that long, but you bought our very first Speed the Light car. It was a Toyota. Man, it was an incredible car, worked for us for so many years, but I have some sad news. Toyota is no longer with us. Toyota has passed away. Toyota is dead. A moment of silence for Toyota, please. Okay, that's enough. We need a new car, you guys. Our car has died after about a decade of use, an incredible Speed the Light car, but we need a new one, and that's where you come in. Thank you for giving to Speed the Light. Thank you for supporting us in Scotland. What do we do in Scotland? Well, we do two things. Our mission statement is this. We connect secular people, lost people, to the church, to Christ, through church planting and through professional sports chaplaincy. So church planting is kind of self-explanatory. We help plant churches, establish new churches and locations. And on the sports chaplaincy side, I personally serve as a chaplain at professional sports teams in Scotland. So I've served at soccer teams, professional soccer teams. And most recently, I've been appointed as chaplain to the Glasgow Rocks professional basketball team. And when we go back to Scotland, they've asked me to help pioneer chaplaincy in all of professional basketball in Scotland. So we'll be appointing a chaplain at every single team there. So pray for us. But we need an SUV. Basketball players are not small people. They're big guys. They have a lot of equipment. They're tall. And so we're looking to get an SUV when we go back. So please pray that God will provide the perfect SUV. Please pray God will provide all the funds that we need to get this SUV through Speed the Light. But students, thank you. Seriously, and I mean this from my whole heart. Thank you for every sacrifice you make. Thank you for every fundraiser you do. Thank you for everything you do. Because of you, honestly, we're able to reach people for Christ in Scotland. We love you. God bless you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. So apparently I skipped a video. So Cheryl, if you could play the Trims video. The Trims family are missionaries to Japan. And after this video, I'm going to have my beautiful wife come up and she's going to give a message.
And so when I think about my own life and how I had, I heard the gospel hundreds of times before I got saved. And in Japan, most people will go their entire life without ever hearing it once.
Japan is one of the most unique cultures in the world. It's always been a trendsetter globally. You've got anime, Pokemon, Nintendo, Toyota. So many wonderful things have come from Japan, and so many people in the world are attracted to this culture. But it might come as a surprise to you that Japan is the second largest unreached people group in the world. And there are very few Christians in Japan, 127 million people and less than 1% Christian.
When we were visiting Japan not long ago and just praying over the country, we were driving through this prefecture called Wakayama, and just as we drove through city after city of hundreds of thousands of people with little to no access to a church, it makes me think about the millions of people living in this country that just will never hear the gospel their entire life.
And we cannot wait to go and bring the hope of Jesus to this country.
We have three little kiddos who are 4, 2, and 1, and they're equally excited to be joining us on this adventure. And we are so thankful, because one of the big questions we have been getting and even asked ourselves is, how are we going to get around Japan with our three kids? So we just want to say thank you, Speed the Light, for helping be an answer to that and to help us bring the gospel to Japanese people. Thank you so much. We are so grateful.
Hasn't it been so wonderful just to see God's work around the world? You know, just to take a moment and see what's happening, that God's kingdom purpose is being accomplished. Oh, let me get myself sorted. So many papers. Let me just put these down here so I don't get confused. First, I just want to say thank you to pastors. Yes, thank you for everything you do, but also thank you for giving us a day to just help empower these young people and showing them that their purpose matters. Thank you for trusting us, you know, because we're pretty wild, as you guys could see during worship. We can get pretty hyped for Jesus. I just want to take a moment to pray before I kind of share my heart this morning. Lord Jesus, I pray that you just be in every word that is spoken from my mouth, Lord, and that you would be here among us, softening hearts to receive the calling that you have over each of our lives, Lord. I pray that everything that is said is edifying to the body, that it's glorifying to your name, Father. And I pray that you would just stir up something new in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this year's theme, Scott, is there any way to turn me down just a little bit up here? Because I feel like I'm a little dizzy or something, hearing so much of myself. This year's theme, All In, prompted me to take a deeper look into America's approach to the Great Commission. The Great Commission is found in Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I have had the privilege of walking in many of the different avenues that enable world missions. First, as a teenager, starting to raise funds for Speed the Light and my youth group. Probably one of my favorite fundraisers we ever did was donkey basketball, as you saw up there. And it's exactly as it sounds. It's playing basketball with donkeys. As a hopeful young adult after college, tasked with personally raising $13,000 to enable my world missions trip. And then being boots on the ground, feeling vulnerable in a new country, not yet understanding the culture or knowing a word of the native tongue, to doing life with people groups that hated my presence just because I proclaimed Christ as my Savior. Sitting brokenhearted in some of the most remote and impoverished villages in Africa, and now as youth leaders, as we persevere to help the next gen have open hearts and open hands towards the Lord's leading. I am so grateful for the Lord's grace and provision in allowing me to have such experiences. For the average young American, I would say I'm pretty well-rounded in world missions, And I'm not saying that for my personal credit or to brag in either. Anyway, I want you guys to know my heart and my sincerity as I share this next part. Out of all the places and cultures and people groups that I've encountered, America is painfully the most apathetic towards the gospel. It's crushing. We have become numb and desensitized to the full, beautiful, redemptive, life-giving nature of the gospel. This call to be all in cannot simply be for the next generation. It has to be for all generations right now. We need to strip away the bondage of comfort and personal preferences, the lack of appetite for holy living, lay down the self-consumed nature of American culture, and become all in for kingdom building, God-glorifying work of the gospel right here at home. That incredible wall, I don't know if you guys have ever noticed, hopefully you did, because it's the entire wall out there in the foyer. It's just picture frames of missionaries that our church has been able to support throughout the years. That wall is a beautiful testament of what God is doing outside of Quitman, Texas. But if you've noticed, none of them are stationed right here in Quitman. Who is? We are. First AG of Quitman. There's no more time to waste. We live in one of the most lavish countries in the world, and yet we have one of the highest rates of depression, anxiety, suicide. We are now living in a post-Christianity America. Our culture is no longer being shaped by the church. The calling of the Great Commission is more relevant than ever in each of our lives. As a young believer, I found myself falling into this mental trap of not believing that my presence mattered, that my impact was going to be very minimal because I grew up in a small town and I went to a small church and I didn't really have ambitions past, you know, going to college and being a mother. And so I just fell in this trap of believing that my walk with the Lord was just going to be for my own, and it didn't really matter beyond myself. And if you're feeling that way this morning, it's a lie from the enemy, because your walk with Christ matters. You matter. Your ability to make disciples matters. Thank you for being so generous, for faithfully funding those missionaries for years. But can I tell you that that is not all the Lord has entrusted us with? We have the ability right here in this room to make such a kingdom difference here in Wood County. The type of pain and desperation and generational curses we saw in that first video, there are strongholds of those same things right here in Wood County. Can we as a church be all in to bringing hope to our town, all in to swinging those doors wide open to all people, letting the church be a hospital for the sick, meeting people in the messy parts of life to let them know that they have a Savior that loves them, a Savior that has a future and a hope for them, and that the things that always have been don't have authority over their lives anymore through the name of Jesus? Yes, we can be all in. When I originally wrote that, the youth kids know on Wednesday nights, this is very foreign to them. They're like, wow, Miss Nani has notes? Because typically I just, you know, I study and I kind of have maybe 3 points I want to get to. But then everything else after that is just like, I'm walking around and I'm passionate. And I even told Mike, I even told Scott, he had to tape this mic to my face because I was like, I will move around and I use my hands while I talk. And when I first wrote this, I was like, I got to stay on time. You know, I can't take too long. So I was like, I'm going to script all of this out. But then as I got to that last part, I was like, Lord, I don't want to just get up there and give like a pep talk. I don't want to just get up there and get us feeling something for a moment. But then we all walk away and I was like, great. Yes, we want to be all in. But how? How? We need something tangible. We need something we can walk out of those doors with, something that we can do tomorrow, right? Okay, so this is where the next part comes in. And it was written last night as I was like praying and I was like, Lord, give me something more to share, something that makes us feel empowered to go out today. Okay. So practically, what does it look like to be all in? So I wrote down 3 points here. First one being that our hearts, the call of being all in starts here with your walk, your personal walk with the Lord. The next one being is that the Lord begins to do a work in our lives, and that work is not just for us. It's not just so you can have freedom. The Lord does want you to have freedom. He wants to give you a hope and a future. But that freedom just isn't for us to enjoy. It's not just for us to have peace in our lives, for us to enjoy, but to give it out, to extend that peace into others that are still in that desperation. Our hearts have to stay continually turned towards Jesus. It's what keeps us focused on the call he has placed on our lives. It keeps our hearts tender towards humanity. Humanity is hard, right? The act of living as a human is hard, but then also it's so easy to let our hearts get calloused and turned away from others, right? Walking closely with Jesus keeps our hearts tender towards humanity, because every person that walks this earth, he created and he loves deeply. The seemingly small daily disciplines that maybe we can sometimes get lax on. I'm always preaching to the teenagers. Read your word, right? The seemingly small daily disciplines like prayer, Bible reading, consciously choosing to consume more of what fuels our spirit than what fuels our flesh, is what keeps ourselves close to him. Guys, this is, big thing. That's the churchy things that I just read off. Prayer, Bible reading. But also, it's the moments of like, ooh, this is me. I'm stepping on my own toes. I got to turn off social media. You know what I'm saying? If I have a free moment, it doesn't mean it's my cue to pick this up. How we spend our days adds up to how we spend our years. And we go from being a teenager on the front row to having gray hair. I've been finding way too many gray hairs in my head lately. And you're like, where does the time go? Maybe we start off with good intentions. Yes, I love the Lord. I'm on fire for the Lord. I want to live my life serving the Lord. I want to bring hope. The hope that we're seeing brought to those other nations. I want to do that. But in our small daily decisions, we choose this. And then we're a decade down the road, and it's like, what? What have I done? What impact have I made? The small daily decisions matter. They add up. As we walk closer and closer with Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit begin to spring up in our lives. These fruits are produced with a purpose. Like I was sharing earlier, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness and self-control. As we walk closer to Jesus, these are things that he naturally brings out in our lives. But this fruit that he's bearing in us is not for ourselves. It's not just so we can be a pretty tree with lots of shiny apples, and everyone looks at us and is like, wow, they're so morally great. They've got it all together. No, we're supposed to be emptying ourselves, emptying our branches of its fruit to feed those that are still in desperation, lost, looking at those beautiful apples of fruit in our lives, saying, how do I get that? Peace? Right now? And all the things that are going on in our world right now, who is having peace except for those who walk with Jesus? Can I share with you a wonderful way we are seeing this accomplished on Wednesday nights? Yeah? Okay. Cheryl, will you roll the video, please? Amazing. Did you guys notice that almost every seat in the fellowship hall that we have set up for the teenagers is full? Did you notice that Miss Carrie's room is busting at the seams with all that energy? Guys, we wanted to peel back the curtain a little bit because I feel like you guys don't always get to see that side of what's happening. That's happening right here in our walls. Can we, like, wow, you guys are furthering that. You may not feel like, oh, I may never have seen any of those kids. Well, actually, you've been feeding them every week. That's what the pantry's for. So when Miss Norma puts that list, that reminds me. Norma wanted me to tell you that she is actually very happily serving those kids, though the footage may not have shown it. She is smiling in her heart. But when she puts out that list of food, now you know. These are hungry kids, like a multitude of kids that we're getting to sit with each week. We wanted to peel back the curtain a little bit to let you guys see that because, first off, that is something that you guys are enabling to happen right here. But also, it's created an opportunity for us that I think when we started it, it wasn't necessarily like this is our hope. But isn't that just like the Lord? If we're obedient, he's gonna start something. He's going to move it in his own power. We get to break that mode of, maybe in the Wednesday night church I grew up in, it was kind of like you come in, we just went straight into our classroom, and it was like, you sit there, teacher will stand here, and you just talk. Like, it's just like this, basically, the structure. Getting to have them, we have them for at least 3 hours every Wednesday. Some of the students, they come right after school. So we have them the entire afternoon. Do you know the opportunity of relational growth that gives us? So much more than what we would get if we just had an hour with them in a classroom like this. Guys, it's been allowing breakthrough within them. Like they're actually friends, you know? I don't have to make them put smiles on. Like they actually enjoy being with each other. But also like with us as leaders, because here we are trying to give them a springboard to grow their faith. And it's like, wow, I actually know you, you know? I'm not just like, what are the teens needing to hear about these days? What is this generation needing? No, I know, because I have the opportunity to know them. Guys, that's such a gift. And you guys are enabling that. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to feed the kids, to have a meal with them, to get to know them. If you're looking at that and you're like, wow, I mean, I wouldn't mind being a part of that. Yeah, come talk to us leaders. There's so much room for so many more of you to be involved in that. The last point I want to share is about community. Community is essential to our faith walk, but also to our ability to disciple. Now, I don't want us to forget, because I've said a lot here. Remember, we're going back to Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is a call, not on Brother Ken's life, or Norma's, or Russell's, or mine, or anyone else who maybe was up on the stage earlier for pastor appreciation. That's a call on your life. Go and make disciples. With community, we're able to do that. As a church, when we choose to walk closely with each other, form deep friendships, it empowers us to do life with others who are on the same mission as us, to have someone to call in the midnight hours, like Brother Ken was talking about, someone who understands the difficulty of life but shares your hope in Jesus. When we as a body in here form deep friendships with each other, it allows this ease. When life gets hard, we know we have someone to lean on. Someone who, you know, like when you're having a moment and you're like, I just need to pep talk myself. And you're like, I don't have the strength to pep talk myself right now. Well, you could have a room full of people who could pep talk you. Because they're on the same, their goal line is the same as yours. There's such a strength in numbers. You know, like the Lord talks about, and the scripture talks about that braided cord, right? And so there's a deep need for us to be tightly woven together, those of us that are in this room right here, to know each other, to know each other's hearts, to know each other's lives, struggles, hopes, and desires, to push each other towards the Great Commission, but also like our personal missions. Because we're all one body, but we're all different parts, right? Again, going back to what Paul was describing in Scripture. He talks about the church being, it's all one body. There's many different parts. And we each play a part in that. Okay. Community also empowers us to further the gospel. For an unbeliever to walk into a body of believers that is united and a safe space to be vulnerable is essential. Choosing to surrender your life to Christ is a deeply personal and relational experience. We know this. As we seek to encourage and lead people in their faith journey, we must also be vulnerable and relational first. But how do we practice this? Well, we prioritize building a strong and healthy community right here among ourselves, and then we will be ready to welcome others in, to meet them wherever they are on their faith journey and pour into their lives. Being faithful to spiritual disciplines, being intentional about sharing the fruit that God is producing in our lives, and building community will all benefit our own faith walks, but it's also how we practically live out the Great Commission. This is the point where it's like, I can take this away with me out those doors. Maybe sometimes we hear Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission, and we picture more of like an evangelistic style. We picture you know, a man or a woman traveling from place to place, preaching, teaching, going door to door, maybe handing out tracts. But the making of disciples is more than just a singular event or interaction we have with someone. It's inviting others to come alongside us in our faith walk, leading with relationship first and teaching by example. I've started to understand this better now that I'm a mom. You know, when I try to teach Cohen, my son, a new skill, you know, I can tell him, you know, what to do. I can maybe give him instructions, maybe explain to him what result to expect from the skill I'm trying to teach him. But often it's not until he sees me doing it in my day-to-day life that I see him have the confidence to live it in his. Does that make sense? Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? That when we live in community, it's for ourselves, it's for each other, it's also for them out there. Because when we call them in, we're saying, Jesus is giving you a hope, but then they see us in our faith walk, and every day we're like dragging into work. Oh, I don't want to be here. You know what I'm saying? So it's like when my son, I'm trying to encourage something new in him, I can tell him about it all day. We can speak out the fruits of the Spirit over people all day. But it's really not until they start to see it in our day-to-day lives that they then have the confidence, wow, this is real. This is life-changing. Then they have confidence to step into those spiritual disciplines, to take that leap of faith to start a relationship with Jesus, right? So community is important. It's essential. Our faith walk, you know, one thing I wanted to note on here, okay, because I know what you're hearing me say, and I know you're thinking, oh, but I don't read my Bible every day. Or, oh, you know, I don't always choose to put the social media down. Guys, your faith walk doesn't have to be perfect for you to invite others to come alongside you. Because the reality is, we're never going to be perfect. I tell the teens this all the time. We are never going to be perfect. The only perfect person who ever walked this earth was Jesus. He's the only one. So if we're sitting, waiting for us to get ourselves more right, or more regular in our prayer time or Bible reading or whatever spiritual discipline you're trying to pursue at the time, if we're waiting until we get there, we may never actually get there. And then our opportunities of spreading the gospel are becoming slim. As we close this morning, I think if we don't see a shift in American culture, if we don't start boldly proclaiming the rescue of the gospel, I think our time is running out. You know, there's a lot going on in the world right now that it's catching everyone's attention. You know, whether you're a believer or a non-believer, there are things that are shifting that's like, something's happening here. You know, and I know like a lot of you in here, you're seasoned saints. You know, and I know a lot of maybe what I've shared has been like, honey, this is Christianity 101. You know, I got this. Okay, I want you to look right here. Put all the eyes on the teenagers. I want everyone to look right here. Okay? Because this generation, they're not rising up to replace you. They're rising up to be taught by you. The decades of spiritual life and growth that is in this room, your personal stories of God's faithfulness in your life will impact them more than all of the 30-minute talks I could give them on Wednesday. We're in this together, them and us.